Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 473 for Thursday, March the 31st, 1999. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and, you know, I don't actually have anything for you tonight, so we're just going to go ahead and close it out later.
But shut up, Wesley.
Just kidding. Tomorrow's April 1st. I had to do something. And I only jumped immediately into it because I didn't want Laura to turn the thing off and his car's cussing at us.
Why is this fucking file an hour long? It's bullshit.
Just took the carnival music from the end of Monty Python and the Holy Grail and put it on loop for an hour.
Fucking telephone a woo for a fucking hour. You know, he'd actually enjoy that.
We just sit here and... Because you're alive. Just play the Alex Jones mixes back to back on a loop. for an hour, play the hour Jones.
Welcome back. We're already into the show there, Fox. So it's an informal April 1st show.
Yeah.
Well, technically it's only April 1st for me, but the rest of you will drag along to the future a little later, kicking and screaming.
So I guess we should do proper intro. We have a Fox. What's up, Fox?
Yep.
We have an Are You?
Up. I committed a cardinal sin yesterday.
You wasted alcohol?
I committed an act of commerce. I bought a pair of boots.
You went outside?
I went into a store without my regulatory 4 shots of the Wu Flu virus vaccine.
Good God, are they up to mandating 4 for you guys?
Yeah, they're up to 4 now. Me sitting here with none, you know, but... Desperately needed a pair of boots because my 20-year-old work boots have finally died. But again, the secret is to confuse the man at the door. When he asks for your passport, go, yes, thanks very, very much, and keep walking. Be polite but confusing. So I did that. I confused the shit out of the kid at the front door. He's like, wait, what? Huh? And
no,
by then,
I'm good. No, I'm good.
Just
thanks,
beeline.
So.
Yeah. I pretty much just confused the dude at the store. Just beeline because I got 15 minutes because that's the cop response time before his kid. And maybe an extra 5 by the time his kid figures out he's just been head fucked by one of the greatest. And so I go to the fucking shoe aisle. And I mean, this is a designated work store for tradesmen. They sell all heavy equipment, shit like that. So. I rock in there, I'm looking at boots, I'm like, oh, what the fuck's going on here? And this young girl comes up to me, she's like, can I help you, sir? And I went, yeah, I'm looking for boots. And she goes, yeah, we got a great selection, what are you looking for? I said, boots. She went, yeah, we got a great selection, what are you looking for? I said, boots. I don't want fucking zippers, I don't want fucking Velcro, I want boots. Leather boots you can put on, you fucking lace up, and you call it a day. I don't want bells and whistles. Why do shoes have fucking zippers now? Like, they have laces, they have Velcro, and a fucking zipper. And they cost $300.
Usually when they have the Velcro and the zipper, they don't bother with the laces because they're for the, you know, the
and
the,
she's like, oh, we got pump-up soles. We got fucking inserts. No, I want work boots. I don't want a wank. I'm walking around with wank on my feet. And you know what? There's one pair of fucking boots. Like traditional lace-up fucking boots, and they were $89. So I bought that pair. Got out of there, saluted the guy as I walked out the door, confusing him once again.
At least you didn't walk out going, Dave's not here, man.
So I'm going to use that tactic again, man. Try the polite but confusing. You know? Yeah, fuck, dude. I don't know if you've shot for boots, man, but holy crap. Why is there so much wank technology in boots?
Well, I mean, they need a new excuse to sell you a new pair every 6 months.
$300 I looked at the quality, man. None of them were like triple stitched or anything. They're only double stitched, and they're soft leather too. Like, this is shit. I want hard leather work boots.
I imagine most of them are probably a hiking boot these days.
That's it. Looked like that's what they were, and they were passing them off as actual industrial work boots.
Yeah,
that's actually dangerous because you don't have an actual correct steel-toed hard leather boot, and you go on a work site and somebody drops shit on your feet,
you're gonna have a bad time.
Yeah.
Well, it looked like they were going for comfort.
Yeah, they're urban hiking boots.
Well, that's what I mean. You know you've got a good pair of boots when you have to sacrifice 6 months of your walking life to break those fuckers in.
Fox, I just want to break down what you just said. Urban hiking boot. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those words
aren't correct.
Yeah.
That's who they're marketing to. It's like the same people that drive a lifted 4x4 in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, the suburban fucking Wrangler.
Yeah. The only time it's ever going to see off-road is if your wife backs over the flower bed.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that one.
All right. Let's get into this here. So, discussion topic. They've got an opinion piece here. VPNs are digital snake oil, an expert claims. And, you know, I don't even feel like reading this article because it's not wrong. It goes to explaining what VPNs are, what they're good for, and what they don't do. But I can summarize it a lot faster than reading this article for you. A VPN is simply tunneling your connection to come on to land either into a private network, like if, you know, corporate VPN, or in the case of these like, you know, Surfshark or Express, or, you know, all the ones you see advertising on YouTube constantly, right? What they do.
I raid Shadow Legends via NordVPN.
That hurt a little inside there, Fox.
I know. I died a little bit.
You know, right in the pucker factor there. Bashing
like that, but
remember, lick the smash button. Wait, what? Damn it! Now I lost my train of thought. VPNs make your internet traffic land as though they are coming out somewhere else on the internet. So you set up a secure IPsec tunnel from your machine to the VPN host, and it routes all of your internet traffic through their host and then lands it on the internet from there. So any website you visit doesn't see your IP address. They see, you know, Surfshark's server 13 or whatever the fuck you're landing
on
the internet.
Their counterargument is like, you know, VPNs can't stop your personal information from being disclosed in a data breach. No shit. They can't, you know, if you go to a phishing site and put in your credit card information because you punched the monkey, you're a fucking retard.
Yep. You log into Facebook through it, guess what? It doesn't do a damn thing about what Facebook does. There is some legitimate use to them, though. And that's primarily if you're on a network you do not trust, like, you know, you're on open public Wi-Fi, which connecting to that's sketchy in the first place, right? But, you know, you're on a coffee shop Wi-Fi or a hotel Wi-Fi or something. Piping it through private internet access or whatever is probably not the worst idea. But here's the thing. You know, they sell these things always saying, oh, run it all the time. Always have it on, even on home. Keep your ISP from seeing what you're doing. And yes, ISPs do actually track your usage history and sell it to marketing just like everybody else. But how many of these VPN services do you think are doing that too?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some,
I just thought all of them.
I don't know about all of them, but a good chunk of them probably are. You know, that's why they tell you to leave them on all the time. And it's like, oh, it protects you. Well, kind of. But, you know, you click a bad link, you're still going to get a virus. Like, you know, you're saying Fox punching the monkey there. You know, it doesn't, you know, if you go telling it who you are, it doesn't do any good to mask your IP. Now, a lot of them will advertise using it to watch other countries' streaming services, and you know what? I bet it does a bang-up job of that, except a lot of the streaming sites will start blocking the VPN endpoints.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, they don't want to deal with the region bullshit, and it's not that they care, it's that the people who sell them the content care. Like, the BBC gets all pissy when people who don't live in England watch it over the internet because they're not collecting TV tax from them. You know, Netflix doesn't care that you're watching British Netflix or whatever, you know, from a coffee shop in Alabama, but the people who sell Netflix their content do. So if Netflix doesn't do anything about that, they might find themselves in breach of contract, and that gets very expensive and all this other bullshit. So, you know, when you see all these ads for VPNs, they add a bit of network security, but that's about it. If you're on your home Wi-Fi and you trust your home network, which admittedly you might be in a situation you don't, like if you're rooming with a bunch of people and you don't know what the fuck they're doing, maybe you don't trust your home network. But you know, in most cases I think you would. You know, if you are out and about, instead of using sketchy Wi-Fi, just tether off your cell phone. Nine times out of ten, that's safer. But, you know, they say, oh, you know, keep your ISP from seeing what you're doing. And it will, but it doesn't keep the VPN company from seeing what you're doing. So I don't know that you're really benefiting anything there.
I mean, unless they have a full, you know, when you sign up to pay for said VPN, unless they have some sort of, you know, total anonymity,
And some of them do.
which some of them do, and I think those are probably some of the better ones, but, you know, it's like, come try out Firefox's built-in VPN. We already know who the fuck you are.
If they let you sign up and pay for a VPN account anonymously and pay for it with Bitcoin as opposed to a credit card and you never have to tie it to your real identity, that one's probably okay.
Yeah, but
But,
then people will just use it to log immediately into
well, yeah, there's that. So,
Facebook.
again, understand the problem you're trying to solve, right? A VPN is not adding any extra security to your browsing. It's not going to stop malware. It's not going to stop, you know, drive-by downloads. It's not going to stop Facebook from knowing who the fuck you are. But if you're on a sketchy network, it can help. The other time that's useful is if you're on a network that's filtered. So if you're connecting to, well, I'm trying to think of a good example. If you're connecting to, say, a school network that has a whole bunch of stuff filtered on it and you're finding that a problem, a VPN can be a way around that. Or if you're on a corporate network. However, from my experience at least, I know this because I've written these policies. Usually on the corporate network or the education networks that I've helped run, I block the fucking VPN services. Because if I'm putting controls in place, I don't want you in running around them through, you know, hidemyass.com or whatever.
Someone has to be the villain.
And yes, as I twirl my mustache and laugh. Actually, my mustache isn't long enough to twirl. I just forgot to shave this week, so I mean, you know.
Mine is, I'll
Anyways,
do it for you.
there you go. Thank you. But I mean, I can laugh maniacally if you think it help. I mean, it's just
Yeah.
okay.
You know, you could 3D print yourself a mustache.
Yeah, I guess I could 3D print a mustache. I mean, I just did those other parts and they came out great, so, you know. That's neither here nor there. So, I don't know. I mean, thoughts, you guys?
I mean, they're not wrong in what they're saying, but the headline is very, like, you'll never believe what kind of information VPNs will expose you to, or a very clickbaity kind of headline.
That's also why I didn't really want to read the article.
Yeah,
I just wanted to the launching point of talking about VPNs because I have seen the ads for them like a lot.
yeah, I've been seeing a lot of those too, and yes, they always go like, I don't know what else you'd use it for. I mean, you're just gonna change to watch the BBC, or oh, you're gonna go looking for some BBC, all right. Just don't want anybody around here knowing about it.
But that's what other websites are for. Like,
I was waiting for Morps to play the rim shot, but
you know, I took it off. We never used it anymore. That I had people bitching at me years ago about how much I used the soundboard. So I've...
What's to stop the authorities from accusing you of going to a certain website? And you go, well, I use a VPN, so I prove it. And like, well,
good luck, I'm behind seven proxies.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And I'd rather make...
Of course, you go up to these guys and you say, I'm behind a VPN. You're off to jail because you're obviously looking at something even worse.
Well, obviously, that's what I'm thinking. Like, because, yeah, I'm just like, well, you got to prove that you didn't go to soandso.com. And I'm like, oh, I can't because I was VPN and they don't keep any logs. Well, clearly you had something to hide, so you must have gone there. No, I'd rather you just go, I want you to read every URL out in court. Right, I don't want you to miss one of them. Yes, including the Brazilian one. Read that out to the judge.
And it's back.
I don't know, man. VPN and that sounds great, but I think you could end up in a bit of trouble.
Well, I situationally, they make sense. That said,
yes, they do.
If you truly, truly want to make sure you have a private browsing experience and that, you know, you don't have somebody tracking what you do, build your own. It's not that hard.
Borrow friends.
Well, there's that. But I mean, you know, go find a Cloud Linux provider. Go find a guide on how to set up. Oh, this is probably terrible advice. I was going to say, go set up Pipewire and then route everything to your DigitalOcean Droplet or EC2 server or whatever. But, you know, there's actually a little bit of skill involved in setting up a VPN server securely. So maybe just saying, go find a guide and do it yourself. You know, just go get you a kit online and build a car. It'll be fine, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just download the car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't, though.
I mean,
that's illegal. I wouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Not me.
Mm-mm. Never.
Wouldn't get me doing that. I like to pay full price for everything these days.
No, the only problem is, do you know how long it takes to 3D print a car?
Bit of time and effort.
Actually,
hey, if I get you to do it, you can do it in time lapse for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Take photo.
Hey, I thought, you know, for whacking that together as quick as I did, that actually came out pretty good.
I said it was good.
Yeah.
I wasn't having a go.
No, I know you weren't. No, I appreciate the advice. I am going to try to get better at my videography, but I think we're completely out of left field at this point.
My years of making home pornography has taught me a lot of things.
And one of them is how to do good lighting, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still yet to add a second person to the show, but... 18 years of one-man performance, still can't get famous.
Well, the googly eyes help. I mean, you know. God. For anybody who's listening to this going, what the hell are you guys talking about? You're right. Now, next article. Next article. Let's see. This is from ArsTechnica.com. EU announces big tech crackdown. Demands interoperability between platforms. This is going to be fucking funny to watch. And it's not because I don't think that these guys could do it. I do think they could, but I don't think any of them will. Because none of these platforms are on compatible standards with each other. So you're either going to need to set up translation servers or, you know, have all these guys agree on like open messaging standards and shit, which would actually be kind of cool, but they never will. European regulators have agreed on a Digital Markets Act that would impose a variety of new requirements on big tech companies classified, quote, as gatekeepers. Final votes on the legislation are still pending. Quote, the text provisionally agreed to by Parliament and Council negotiators targets large companies providing so-called core platform services, most prone to unfair business practices such as social networks or search engines, with a market cap of at least 75 billion euro or an annual turnover of 7.5 billion, unquote. In other words, we're targeting Facebook, Google, and Apple. It's like we've targeted this very narrowly. We've done all we can do except put the business name in the bill.
In the title, yeah.
European Parliament announced yesterday, to be designated as gatekeepers, these companies must also provide certain services such as browsers, messengers, social media, which must have at least 45 million monthly end users in the EU and 10,000 annual business users, unquote. Google, Apple, Amazon, Facebook owner Meta, and Microsoft would apparently have to comply with the new rules. Quote, the Digital Markets Act puts an end to the ever-increasing dominance of big tech companies. I don't know about that.
I doubt that.
From now on, they must show that they also allow fair competition on the internet, unquote, said Andreas Schwab, a member of the European Parliament from Germany, and a reporter for Parliament's Internal Market and Consumer Protection Committee. EU lawmakers agreed that big messaging services such as WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and Apple's iMessage, quote, will have to open up and interoperate with similar messaging or smaller messaging platforms if they so request. Users of small or big platforms would then be able to exchange messages, send files, or make video calls across messaging apps, this giving them more choice, unquote, the European Parliament's announcement said. Up until you said video calls, you might have had a hope of this happening. I mean, all these guys are using their own technology stacks. Unless you get them all to switch over to open standards, I don't know how this is going to happen. The wording makes it unclear whether the biggest messaging apps would have to work with each other or just with smaller companies. Legislators agreed that specific interoperability requirements for social networks, quote, will be assessed in the future, unquote. In other words, we don't know how to figure this out, so we'll just assume somebody else is going to do it. Another provision said that, quote, combining personal data for targeted advertising will only be allowed with explicit consent to the gatekeeper, unquote. I think they're supposed to say, they're supposed to show a big EULA saying you agree to this before they start collecting your data. They're also assuming anybody's going to read that shit. Quote, a gatekeeper does not comply with the rules, the European Commission can impose fines of up to 10% of its total worldwide turnover in the preceding financial year and a 20% in 20% in case of repeated infringements. The case of systemic infringement, the Commission may ban them from acquiring other companies for a certain time, unquote, the announcement said. Notice they didn't say they couldn't operate in the EU. They're hoping.
Yeah, this seems like just a massive cash grab. Though.
There it is. It is. That's exactly what it is. They know that these guys are not going to open up their platforms, either for reasons of technically it's just not feasible, or they don't want to give up the market share, but they also don't want to give up the EU market. So, yeah, these guys are like, well, we're just going to take 10% of your bottom line. And, I mean, somebody's going to weigh it out and do the math of, like, does that meet the cost of doing business, or do we need to go back to the lobbyists?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Yeah, imagine my shock when he's in the Young Global Leaders Club.
Yep. The Hollywood Reporter describes some of the practical impact of the new rules. Apple, for example, will have to allow alternatives to its app store for downloading apps and allow payment methods for the app store other than Apple's own, unquote, the article said. It continued, quote, Google and Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, will no longer be able to offer targeted ads across multiple platforms using data gathered as users move between services owned by the same company, YouTube and Google Search, for example, without receiving explicit consent. Amazon will be barred from collecting data or from using data collected from outside sellers on its services to offer competing products, a practice already the subject of a separate EU antitrust investigation, unquote. So basically what's going to happen is, you know, the little pop-up you already get saying this site uses cookies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every major service provider is going to have a pop-up saying you consent to your data collection along the lines of the cookie thing.
What happens if you don't click on that?
You have a little banner ad that won't go away at the bottom of your page?
No, there's going to be an app. There'll be an app for that pretty quick. Cookie Block Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The legislation still needs to be, quote, finalized at the technical level and checked by lawyer linguists, unquote. There's a business card. I'm a lawyer linguist. What's that mean? It means he's good with his tongue and his knee pads. I mean,
well, he's pretty cunning, I hear.
And then approved by the European Parliament and Council, the Parliament announcement said. The Digital Markets Act would then, quote, come into force 20 days after its publication in the EU official journal, and the rules will apply six months after, unquote. In addition to the market cap criteria above, the companies designated as gatekeepers would, quote, control one or more core platform services in at least three member states, unquote, with those core services including, quote, marketplaces and app stores, search engines, social networking, cloud services, advertising services, voice assistants, and web browsers, unquote. So what I'm hearing is Google is going to come up with new marketing names for all of these. As opposed to, it's
like it.
We don't have a web browser. We have a internet experience renderer.
That's interactive terrible. Porthole for whatever, I don't know.
There's a reason I don't do marketing, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Small and medium-sized companies, quote, are exempt from being identified as gatekeepers except in exceptional cases, unquote. The exceptional case being they have a lot of money and we want it, I'm sure.
I was about to say that, yep. Once your bottom line is above this threshold, we'll be taking that.
It's like, if we look at your bank account and drool...
mm-hmm.
The press release said companies that object to being designated as gatekeepers, quote, can challenge the designation by means of a specific procedure that enables the commission to check the validity of those arguments, unquote, the release said.
Giving us money.
It's probably.
That is literally that.
To comply, gatekeepers must give users, quote, the right to unsubscribe from core platform services under similar conditions to subscription, ensure that interoperability of their instant messaging services' basic functionality, allow app developers fair access to supplementary functionality of the smartphones, e.g. the NFC chip, give sellers access to their marketing or advertising performance data on the platform, and inform the European Commission of their acquisitions and mergers, unquote, the European Council said. Well, that acquisition and mergers thing's a bigger cudgel than you think. That's how most of these companies get their new technology. They don't develop it in house anymore. They find a five man company that's, you know, set up with a Facebook page and a GitHub account, and they buy them. They buy them out, give them all, you know, a check, and walk away with the technology. So, I mean, Microsoft is famous for that.
Oh, yeah, that's all they did in the 90s was run around buying small companies.
Where do you think they got fucking DOS?
Yeah.
I don't think they actually bought the company, but they bought PC DOS. What was it? It wasn't TR-DOS. I forget what it originally was, but they bought the original DOS from the author that would then later become MS-DOS. And
but wasn't most of that framework just based off, like, Xerox part?
A lot of it,
research,
yeah.
Prior to
the GPU was, yeah, GPU, the GUI. I'll get my words. I've been drinking, so
welcome to the club.
Yeah, really, but they bought the company that owned Internet Explorer, or it wasn't Internet Explorer. What was it? Mosaic? No, was it Mosaic? Or is that the precursor to Safari? Fuck, I forget.
Yeah, it's not my thing, dude. I wouldn't know.
It's not important. But, they bought the company that had, the web browser, and they just rebranded the first version as Internet Explorer. And then they started developing it from there. I mean, you know, where do you think they got most of the technology for the Xbox? So.
Aliens.
Well, that too. For important software... For important software such as web browsers, gatekeepers must, quote, not require this software by default on the installation of the operating system, unquote. They also won't be allowed to, quote, rank their own products or services higher than those of others, self-preferencing, reuse private data collected during a service or the purposes of another service, establish unfair conditions for business use, pre-install certain software applications, or require app developers to use certain services, e.g. payment systems or identity providers, in order to be listed in app stores, the press release said. Well, yeah, that's squarely in Microsoft's face there, isn't it? Apple told Reuters and other news organizations that it is, quote, concerned that some provisions of the DMA will create unnecessary privacy and security vulnerabilities for our users, while others will prohibit us from charging for intellectual property in which we invest a great deal, unquote. Google said, quote, while we support many of the DMA's ambitions around consumer choice and interoperability, we're worried that some of these rules could reduce innovation and the choice available to Europeans. We'll take some time to study the final text, talk with the regulator, and work out what we need to do to comply. In other words, Google's like, you know what? We're just going to block the EU. Fuck off. I mean, that's what they're saying when they say, you know, choice available to Europeans. In other words, we don't like your rules. We're going to take our ball and go home.
Yep.
Because they look at that and go, oh, they're just trying to get 10% of our bottom line every year.
Mm-hmm. How hard would it be to trump up some charge or just brute force it with a bunch of bot accounts until you get one that gets through? And
it'd be every year. They'd have to defend it.
Yeah.
A tech industry lobbying group, the Chamber of Progress. Good God, that sounds like something out of Star Trek. Said, quote, the impact.
Either that or they meet once a week in the forest and cloak to it and chant for the greater good.
Are you sacrificing the fax machine this week? Oh, no, I knew we forgot something. quote, the impact of the bill remains squarely focused on American tech companies, and the Biden administration has warned that the DMA could expose the U.S. tech sector to increased IP and cybersecurity threats, unquote. Pretty sure the Biden administration...
Look, we have Internet Boogeyman, too.
Yeah.
How? Can I get you to expand on that, Mr. President? How is that going to be an issue?
Well... Normally they whisked me away after these things, and I
wish somebody had the fucking balls, man.
Find Barack.
Applesauce? What?
Dude, I wish someone had the balls when they make statements like that. Just turn around and go, how? Like, how is this going to affect? Don't let them get away with it, man.
We don't know. That's just what the tech boys tell us.
Yeah, well, get one of them out here because they're clearly fucking smarter than you.
Okay. They don't like leaving their basement lab very much.
I don't give a fuck if it startles them or not. Get them out here to fucking explain. This sounds like it could fuck my life up. Let's go. I want an explanation. Why do we need these laws?
So
bring it in.
I'm trying to think of what the arguments might actually be. There is one with the app stores, and that's by saying that these, you know, devices have to be allowed to use third-party app stores and payment systems and things like that. It is possible that you might have bad actors convince people to install third-party app stores that, you know, overcharge or install malware and shit like that. Because essentially what you're saying is that your devices have to have an unlock mechanism available to them. Now, that said, Android already has that. So you can look at that ecosystem and see how many people are getting hit with malware, mobile malware. And really, I mean, there's a little bit, but it's not anywhere near what it is on a desktop machine. Like on a comparing Android to Windows as far as malware goes, it's no contest. Usually when you see somebody who's malwared up a phone, it's because they've installed some fly-by-night Chinese app store trying to get pirated apps for free.
Yeah.
And, I mean, arguably they kind of deserve what they get if they're doing that shit. That's just saying. But,
yeah, you're not wrong.
Other than that, I guess the open, you know, because you require some kind of an open standard for interoperability, I mean, you're requiring them to open up systems and potentially, you know, more points of attack on the internet. But the open source guys do that without too much of a problem. So as long as you follow agreed upon standard and, you know, what's allowed and what's not, and set up your Yeah, I guess the real problem there is that you have to rewrite a bunch of your software. So it's not a complete bullshit argument, but it is about an 80% bullshit argument.
It's just enough to, for them to get their foot in the door with this idea. And
But I mean, anytime you're making changes to a system or adding new things or opening things up, you have that, right? I mean, so saying, oh no, you're, I mean, saying, oh no, if you don't only allow our app stores, you could get malware. Yeah, well, I mean, look at your average Windows PC. Microsoft tries to get you to use the App Store. Nobody does. And, sure, yeah, viruses are a thing. It happens, but I mean, we've been
That
dealing with it
happens.
there. So, anyways, next one up. This one's just funny. It's from Krebs on Security. There's a terrifying and highly affected method that criminal hackers are now using to harvest sensitive customer data from internet service providers, phone companies, and social media firms. It involves compromising email accounts and websites tied to police departments and government agencies, and then sending unauthorized demands for subscriber data while claiming the information being requested can't wait for a court order because it relates to an urgent matter of life and death.
Nothing, life and death.
In the United States, when federal,
Your
state,
vehicle's social security number has expired.
for fuck's sake. I think I've heard that one. It's hard to tell. Sometimes their accent is really thick. Usually, I put on my best Southern drawl and say, "You don't sound quite American, boy." And usually, they'll hang up on me when I do that. Used to have some
This is
fun
MAGA
with,
country, Jesse.
yeah, do you know, start doing shit like that. Start getting really insulting with them, because I'm trying to put it on the abuse list, because I figure if I'm on the abuse list, they're not going to call me again. It's like, don't call this person, he'll insult your honor and family. But the problem is nowadays it's either automated or they just hang up on you the moment you start in with a character. So, anyways. In the United States, when federal, state, or local law enforcement agencies wish to obtain information about who owns an account at a social media firm or what internet addresses a specific cell phone account has visited in the past, they must submit an official court-ordered warrant or subpoena. Virtually all major technology companies servicing large numbers of users online have departments that routinely review and process such requests, which are typically granted as long as the proper documents are provided. And the requests appear to come from an email address connected to an actual police department domain name. But in certain circumstances, such as cases involving imminent harm or death, an investigating authority may make what's known as an emergency data request, which largely bypasses any official review and does not require the requester to supply any court-approved documents. It is now clear that some hackers have figured out there is no quick and easy way for a company that receives one of these EDRs to know whether it's legitimate. Using their illicit access to police email systems, the hackers will send fake EDR along with the attestation that innocent people will likely suffer greatly or die unless the requested data is provided. And of course, some minimum wage help desk jockey saying, if you don't respond to this, someone is going to die. I'm with the FBI. They're likely just going to go, boss, and just pass it on. But, and of
Oh,
course,
fuck that, dude. I'm writing back going pics. Like,
you'd think, right? But
send me dinner
reply to
here,
this
though.
now, or your mother dies in her sleep. Good. Not replying.
Oh boy.
You reply back, "Hey, I've got lunch with that bitch today. Can you make it before like
Move
11:30?"
it up a bit.
In this scenario, the receiving company finds itself caught between two unsavory outcomes: failing to immediately comply with an EDR and potentially having somebody's blood on their hands, or possibly leaking a customer record to the wrong person. Quote, we have a legal process to compel production of documents, and we have a streamlined legal process for police to get information from ISPs and other providers, unquote, said Mark Roche, a former prosecutor with the U.S. Department of Justice. Quote, and then we have this emergency process, almost like you see on the television series Law and Order. Okay, anytime they're comparing things
dun,
to,
dun.
I mean, for fuck's sake. It's like, really? You guys are using Law and Order as an example of how shit should work? I mean, really?
Works, you should have had that sound downloaded onto the soundboard prior to the show.
Hang on. I think I have something comparable.
There you go.
So, and then we have, and where they said they need certain information, immediately Rosh continued. Quote, providers have a streamlined process where they publish the facts or contact information for police to get emergency access to data. But there's no real mechanism defined by most internet service providers or tech companies to test the validity of a search warrant or subpoena. And as long as it looks right, they'll comply. Unquote. To make matters more complicated, there are tens of thousands of police jurisdictions around the world, including roughly 18,000 in the United States alone. And all it takes is for hackers to succeed is illicit access to a single police email account. The reality that teenagers are now impersonating law enforcement agencies to subpoena privileged data on their targets at a whim is evident in the dramatic backstory behind Lapsus, the data extortion group that recently hacked into some of the world's most valuable technology companies, including Microsoft, Okta, NVIDIA, and Vodafone. I guess I missed the Vodafone one.
Possibly because it was the kid from last week.
Yeah, possibly because it's fucking Vodafone. Who uses that shit?
A lot of Asia, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Vodafone's pretty popular in Asia.
In a blog post about their recent hack, Microsoft said Lapsus succeeded against its targets through a combination of low-tech attacks, mostly involving old-fashioned social engineering, such as bribing employees or contractors at the target organization, like we talked about. Quote, other tactics include phone-based social engineering, SIM swapping to facilitate account takeover, accessing personal email accounts of employees at target organizations, paying employees, suppliers, or business partners of target organizations for access to credentials and multi-factor authentication approval, and introducing the ongoing crisis communication calls, or intruding in the ongoing crisis communication calls of their targets, unquote, Microsoft wrote of Lapsus. Researchers from security firms Unit 221B and Palo Alto Networks say that prior to launching Lapsus' group leaders White, or White Doxpin, or Ocklock, was a founding member of a cybercriminal group called the Recursion Team. This group specialized in SIM swapping targets of interest and participating in swatting attacks, blah, 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 blah. It goes on, it goes on, and it goes on. But basically, yeah, it's what they're.
Wait, you mean teenagers that are perpetrating swatting attacks that are literally getting people killed might also go on the internet and tell lies?
No.
Shit.
No.
And, you know, yeah, it makes sense. If you have this process in the back end to facilitate law enforcement, you think somebody's not going to figure it out and take advantage of it? I mean, really? How is somebody going to die if you don't get immediate access to their Facebook account? I guess I'm not creative enough to come up with a scenario for that one. The cell phone I could see, but the other stuff, I don't know.
Yeah, we need to be able to track them through Facebook Live.
Quick, go write a GUI in Visual Basic or whatever the fuck they say.
Yeah, let me go to hackertyper.com and make all this code appear, look really official.
If you want to make your terminal look awesome, by the way, it's called the Hollywood script. Just saying. If you want to do that. If you really want to look busy at work.
Yeah.
Next one up, also involving actually a similar process. Bungie slammed YouTube's Digital Millennium Copyright Act process in a lawsuit against 10 John Doe defendants accused of sending fraudulent takedown video notices against Destiny 2 videos. Quote, Doe defendants were able to do this because of a hole in YouTube's DMCA process security, which allows any person to claim to be a representative or representing any rights holder in the world for purposes of issuing a DMCA takedown, unquote, Bungie wrote in a complaint filed Friday in U.S. District Court for the Western District of Washington.
Now, let me stop you right there. Bungie, one of the companies that lobbied their ass off about the DMCA and having the ability to take down videos.
They're not pissed that they have the ability to take down videos. They're pissed that somebody else has claimed to be them and taken down videos.
I know. Fuck you people, you fucking assholes. It's okay if we do it, but no, you can't do it too.
Well, there really were people impersonating Bungie with Gmail accounts.
I don't really care.
And getting Fuck videos them. Taken down. Which
Bungie, like, they threw a bunch of, you know, fraudulent claims on people's shit.
I mean, we don't have to finish the article. I just thought it was funny.
Oh no, I think it's funny that Bungie's whining about it, considering the fact that they were the ones that were so for this and just put out a fucking blanket of, oh, we claim we own this, take it down.
Okay.
But now when it gets used against them, they're all pissy about it.
So here's Bungie's quote. In other words, as far as YouTube is concerned, any person anywhere in the world can issue takedown notices on the behalf of any rights holder anywhere. A disgruntled infringer or a competitive content producer, for example, can issue takedown notices purportedly on behalf of Disney or Fox or Universal or even Google itself. All they need to do is, one, fill out the video removal form, two, have a Google account, including upon information and belief, one created the same day with fake information, and three, fill out information and click a verification button fraudulently certifying that they have the right to submit the takedown request with no verification done by YouTube. While YouTube and its owner Google were not named as defendants, they feature heavily throughout the Bungie's complaint. The 10 Doe defendants haven't been identified yet because of, quote, the Byzantine procedural labyrinth Google required before it would address the fraud its users were committing, let alone identify who its fraudsters were, unquote, Bungie wrote. Again, Bungie's
our fucking problem.
It's like Google is this elaborate system. Well, that's because Google only has like 10,000 employees or something like that for everything they do. If it's not heavily automated, Google doesn't do it. Getting a human at Google is like a minor miracle. Unless you're talking to their sales department for their cloud team, you'll get a human real quick for them because they're going to try to sign you up for a cloud account.
They want money.
That's right. It's like, actually, we're having a problem with YouTube and Click. I mean, it's like, wait, what? The fraudulent notices were apparently sent in retaliation by Destiny 2 players who had received Bungie's legitimate takedown requests, the lawsuit said. The fraudsters apparently targeted other YouTubers who had received official Bungie takedown requests and then sent emails to the victims claiming that the official Bungie notices were also fraudulent. So they're just fucking with everybody here, aren't they? The fraudulent notices began on or around March 17th and targeted Destiny YouTubers, including My Name is Bife and Azercross. I have no idea who these people are, who also have 967,000 and 595,000 subscribers, respectively. Even Bungie's official Destiny YouTube channel got served a fraudulent takedown notice, the lawsuit said. The notices were sent from a fake Gmail address that was, upon information and belief, newly created, which did not match the address used by Bungie's brand protection vendor for legitimate DMCA takedowns. Quote, thanks to YouTube's easily gamed reporting system, the attack was a success and the videos were removed and YouTubers given copyright strikes that under YouTube rules threaten the future viability of their channels on the basis of fraudulent takedown notices, Bungie wrote. Afterward, quote, the Destiny community was bewildered and upset, believing that Bungie had reneged on a promise to allow players to build their own streaming communities and YouTube channels on Destiny 2 content. Destiny community members were also misled to believe that Bungie's brand protection agents were also fraudulent, causing confusion among users as to the authenticity of legitimate takedown notices, Bungie said. You know, okay, the lawsuit goes on. They're trying to get the real names of these people and all that, but, you know, Destiny here, you know, they're reading it like this is the first time this has ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube's had this problem for a decade now, ever since they started doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to follow some of the music production circles, and people were getting their content claimed for the sound of birds in the background or, like, old public domain samples and sound clips and shit. And you know, just some random fly-by-night company would come in and claim anybody's video who had a drum hit in it. And instead of taking the video down, they would just claim all the ad revenue for 30 days. Finally, you know, when you know, at the end of the time limit for the dispute, because, of course, the channel owner would dispute it, they'd collect ad revenue for free off these videos for a month and then finally acquiesce to the dispute But at that point, the original content maker's not gotten any of their money, and the guys doing this got all the money and left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this has been a problem.
And because
forever.
There's some fly-by-night company, there's no recourse for all that lost revenue for the person.
Yeah, it's just gone. So it's one of those things where, you know, I mean, if you want to make YouTube videos, that's great, but I wouldn't count on it as a source of income. And you probably want to diversify across a couple of different platforms these days. So, let's see. I think this is my last story for tonight, and then we've got Dojo. So this one is from The Verge, and it's just painful. Because, well, you'll see. Twitter user sentenced to 150 hours of community service in the UK for posting, quote, offensive, unquote, tweet. I mean, seriously? Criminal prosecution over a fucking tweet?
Sounds about right.
I mean, are we that fragile as a society that somebody yes. posting something we don't like on Twitter means they have to go after them with the police?
Yep.
Yeah.
Someone has been triggered.
Uh-huh. Show me on the doll where it hurt.
A Twitter user from the UK named Joseph Kelly has been sentenced to 150 hours of community service for posting a, quote, grossly offensive, unquote, tweet about Captain Sir Tom Moore, a British Army officer who raised money for the NHS during the pandemic. Moore became a national figure in the UK after walking 100 laps around his garden before his 100th birthday. He was later knighted by the Queen. The day after his death, Kelly, 36, tweeted, quote, "The only good Brit soldier is a dead one. Burn, old fella, burn," unquote.
Yeah, fuck not
something I would have done, but all right.
Does The Verge not risk being criminal prosecution for posting what the man posted?
I mean, right?
Are we not going
to
get
sure if you
for
go back
reading
to
it out?
Verge's headlines,
I'm
you
pretty
can find
sure. Did
a
you just commit
of slander in there?
Did you just commit slander by reading that?
I don't know. That's the problem with this. I don't fucking know.
I can see the old dude in my head. I remember the story. It was, you know, big news.
I mean, I don't know why you would post that, but
yeah. It's...
But the article goes on. It gets better. Kelly was found guilty in February last year and faced possible jail time. His case brought attention to the oft-criticized piece of UK legislation that allows social media users to be prosecuted for sending, quote, grossly offensive, unquote, messages. As reported by The National, Kelly was sentenced on Wednesday. His defense argued that Kelly had few followers on Twitter at the time, that he had been drinking the night before writing the post, and he had deleted the tweet just 20 minutes after sending it. So the thing was only up for 20 minutes, and he was drunk when
he
did it.
And he was drunk as shit. You know, maybe he was playing a fucking, I don't know, World War II map, and he happened to be against the British at the time and was all fired up about it. And I don't know how, like,
well, I mean,
trying to justify this shit, but still, it's like...
Yeah. Quote, he accepts what he accepts he was wrong. He did not anticipate what would happen. He took steps almost immediately to delete the tweet, but the genie was out of the bottle by then, unquote, said Kelly's defense agent, Tony Callahan. Quote, his level of criminality was a drunken post at a time when he was struggling emotionally, which he regretted and almost instantly removed.
Kelly, I hate this whole, oh, I was just having a bad mental day, you know, like to excuse this shit behavior. I'm fucking
people have been
it,
using
dude.
That for your temporary insanity in the 90s and.
Well, I mean,
you want to call shit,
but... the first part of the of the sentence was accurate. His level of criminality was a drunken post.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've all been there.
Usually it involves having bought something on eBay you regret later. It's like, did I really need an Amiga 500? I mean, I don't
remember. Yes.
Or God help you if you've like stumbled into Wish while you're really drunk. Because like 6-8 months later, shit starts showing up at your door and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Is this uranium? What the? Oh, I was trying to get argue on so many lists.
Oh, I already am.
I mean,
guilty by
I did start sending him all the links on Amazon of the parts to order to build a dirty bomb. So
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, read every URL, Your Honor. Every URL.
Kelly was sentenced to 18 months of supervision and 150 hours of unpaid work in the form of a Scottish community payback order. Sheriff Adrian Cotton, who sentenced Kelly, told the 36-year-old, "My view is, having heard the evidence, that this was a grossly offensive tweet. The deterrence is really to show people that despite the steps you took to try to recall the matter, as soon as you press the blue button, that's it. It's important for other people to realize how quickly things can get out of control. You are a good example of that, not having many followers," unquote. Yeah, so it's literally, we wanted to make an
example
out of you.
They made an example of him.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly was found guilty under Section 217 of the UK's Communication Act. The law was originally intended to prosecute individuals saying offensive things on the telephone, but that has since been used to police grossly offensive messages on social media. Hundreds of UK citizens have been found guilty under Section 127, often for insulting, abusing, and harassing public figures like athletes, journalists, and MPs. Section 127 is set to be replaced by the UK's sweeping online safety bill, though critics worry the new legislation will enable similar prosecutions to Kelly's, with citizens found guilty of sending harmful messages based on vague notions of public morality. So, if you're in the UK...
Who gets to be the morality police in this one?
Seriously, if you're in the UK, delete your Twitter, delete your Facebook, delete your...
Yeah.
Any of them. Don't risk it. Don't risk it.
Yep. Yeah.
Because all it takes is somebody...
laws coming in.
All it takes is somebody with a strange hair color saying, "But my feelings!" To, you know...
Hmm. Yeah, it's a good thing we're not syndicated in the UK.
I mean, I don't actively block it. Maybe I should.
Fuck it.
So,
hey, well, I'll get a free trip to Europe.
Your Honor, I'd like to point out I'm an American. I have the freedom of speech, and the fact that, you know, I celebrate July 4th as, you know, National Rebellion Day means you can go suck a dick.
I celebrate a holiday
nuts, Your Honor.
I celebrate a holiday shared with more than 70% of the world. Liberation of the British rule.
Your Honor, I'd like to post my defense. These nuts. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is just a funny project. Some of the developers over at Grafana figured out how to run Doom in a Grafana dashboard. I mean, we were joking about
when
Doom
will
running
a madness
on everything.
Stop.
Apparently, it takes like 16 billion crabs, and you can run Doom.
Wow.
Actually, try to see if I can find that link again.
That said, the performance on it looked pretty bad. I think it's more just proof of concept. But there it is. If you want to run Doom on your company's Grafana interface, there you go. Although, now that I think about it, a company I worked at previously did have several manager-specific Grafana dashboards that didn't show certain graphs. They had the link for the actual IT people, and they had the link for the managers. Guess which one always showed green?
Yeah.
So, and the other thing I have for you tonight is, there's been another vulnerability found in Java Spring Boot written applications. Now, this one's apparently not quite as widespread as the Log4j one, but it involves using native objects. So this is a Python script I found called JFrog Spring Tools that will scan for the vulnerable object types, you know, existing in your Spring Boot application, so you can see if you're vulnerable to the new Spring vulnerability or not. So, nice little tool for doing that scan. It's good to know, especially with these applications coming up, and Spring Boot applications never seem to get updated and seem to live forever inside companies. So, it is kind of nice to be able to point to it and say, "See, we got a problem here," so that when, you know, the thing gets popped in a few months, you can point to it and say, "I said there was a problem here. The fact that you all ignored it didn't make it any less." So, I'm not bitter, not at all. Anyways, Fox, closing thoughts.
Well, since following your favorite celebrities on Twitter and TikTok and all these social media things is going out of style, it's going to have to be, you know, run by anonymous AI-controlled VPNs that are powered by Soldier Crab logic gates in order to get any of your content anymore.
I was just going to suggest Tor, but, you know, hey, if you want to use the crab logic gates, you go nuts.
Actually, the story I just linked you that says Doom could apparently be played on 16 billion crabs based on a recent study.
16 billion soldier crabs could run the original 1993 version of this. What? Huh?
So the original tweet came out of scientists have also successfully built logic gates by using swarms of soldier crabs. It takes about 80 crabs to operate a logic gate. And there are 8 logic gates in a byte. So, you know, with they use the example of 640,000 crabs, you could be used to store a single tweet, which seems kind of like a waste of.
Do you have to train the crabs?
You could play Doom with.
How do you prevent the crabs from just, you know, wandering off and ruining your data?
Apparently, it's a maze-like system.
Okay.
Don't ask me how this works. They just. I came across a story earlier and meant to link it to you, but it seemed like a good enough time as any.
I mean, it sounds like it's up there with the RFC for IP over Avian, but, you know, hey, whatever. Are you closing thoughts?
Crabs.
I mean, nobody wants them.
Nope.
Unless you're at Joe's Crab Shack.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Well, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. In the IRC tonight, Al Hazard, CyberLard, Psychros, and myself. This is the actual closing to the show. We're not going to be having anything after it this time. So,
we're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Shut up, Wesley.